of the interwebs. Tis I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're back joining us once again at Unnerved, a horror movie podcast.
Yeah, welcome, welcome. Hi. If you're new here. I'm a little tired, y'all.
I was trying to give her the cue.
You're like, Kelly, come on, girl. You got this. You do the thing.
Hey, I had a rough start a couple episodes ago, so, like, fair's fair.
Yeah, I was not thinking about anything podcast related. I was just going through, but I did not get to that next step. But if you are new here, thank you for sticking with us through that horrible introduction. But we watch a horror movie every other week and then we talk about it.
Yeah. And this week we're going to continue our historical period choices and we're doing Kelly's pick.
Yeah, Ravenous from 1999. I picked this one based off of what the internet told me to pick. And actually, for me, I liked it.
Me too. I was surprised by this.
So was I. I was completely blown away. I was not... The twists and turns that it gave me was not what I was expecting. Like, I was, like, going into this, I'm like, this is gonna be about, like, the Donner Party, and, like, it's just gonna be like that.
I mean, you kind of got an idea.
Yeah.
I mean, this is loosely based off of, inspired by that, but, like, in a different area of the world with a little extra spooky spook.
Mm-hmm. And there's, like, there's some twists and turns I was not expecting in this. So I was like, excuse me? Yes! So anyway, I loved it.
Wonderful. Well, let's just dive into it. Kelly, hit us with our cast.
Yeah, so our main dude is Guy Pearce, who is Captain John Boyd. He doesn't talk much.
No, it takes him, like, 20 to 25 minutes to actually have a full... literate sentence.
He is our traumatized
He'll say boy. Words, but they're not full sentences until, like, 20 minutes into the movie.
And he constantly looks, like, semi-terrified.
Boyd has trauma.
He has major trauma.
He has PTSD before they even figured out what PTSD is.
Also, like, the people were really rude to him about it, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
Well, they were rude to him about it because he was doing a cowardly thing. He possumed.
Yeah, he did. He did really possum. He full-on played dead. But, like, I can't be that mad about it because I don't know what I would do in his situation.
Right. But he's a captain. You go down with the ship.
Yeah,
type of it.
You did a bad considering your rank.
Yes.
Then Robert Carlyle is F.W. Calhoun, also known as Colonel Ives.
Love him.
Yeah, he is fantastic. Also, Rumpelstiltskin.
I know! I saw him, I'm like, oh my gosh, Rumpelstiltskin from Once Upon a Time
is I was like, Rumpelstiltskin!
I was, like, the second episode, I'm like, wait, no. Wait, yes? Wait, what? Girl!
I was like, that face, I know that face. Normally, it's gross, though. Like,
yeah.
I never watched Once Upon a Time all the way through, so I don't know if he looked
different by made it through, like, season 4 or 5.
I made it through, like, season 1 or 2, like. And season 1 was really good, from what I remember. And then I heard they made some really strange changes towards the end. Now, yeah. Captain Hook is a beautiful
He
man.
Is a fine, fine human being.
I love him.
Gorgeous.
So, anyway, we'll keep going. David Arquette is Private Cleves.
Our boy!
I love David Arquette. He was such a weird role in this.
You know, he's probably like, I got a little paycheck. I just gotta show up for like a week.
Yep. That is true. Jeremy Davies is Private Toffler. Jeffrey Jones is Colonel Hart. John Spencer is General Slauson. Steven Spinella is Major Knox. Neil McDonough is Private Reich. Joseph Running Fox is George. I'm pretty sure that might be Martha's brother, now that I think about that, but I could
yes.
be wrong. And then Martha is played by Sheila Tuzzi. It's directed by Antonio Bird.
This movie is great.
It's different.
It's very different. And I actually never heard of this one. Hot take. And I now think it's underrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I feel like I should have heard of this one.
It's very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It is a different pace than, like, what I would think of in modern horror.
Before we get into the plot, can I just say, I loved the soundtrack to this.
It's
The soundtrack
wild.
Was on point. It had some real good moments and then also some hilarious moments that
it's
just
like,
for random stuff. And then it would hit hard and like, be like, this is a bop. Like, no joke.
Yeah, apparently some of what they did was they took a bunch of people who didn't really know how to play very well and stuck them in a band and made music with them.
And I fucking loved it.
It tracks. It definitely tracks. I texted you because I watched this before you did. We watched this one separately because we just...
Yeah, you were texting me while I was at a wrestling match.
And it was... I know I was. And I was like, the music is interesting. It is weird. It is very strange. It kind of... It makes sense, though. Also, Private Reich is hot.
Yes, I was going to say that. I almost texted you and I'd be like, girl, this man.
I told you television. There's a very beautiful, handsome
man. Oh, I found him immediately.
He was beautiful.
I found also, him like that.
I was like, he's in Band of Brothers, so I have recently rewatched that. I was like, oh my God, it's Buck Compton.
Well, let's get on into the plot. The sticky, sticky plot. So, this is happening during the Mexican-American War.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is, like, 1847.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, like, that's also around when the Donner Party was, as well.
Yeah. Expansion
like,
of
America. The war was, like, 46 to, like, 48, and the Donner Party's 47.
Okay.
So, like, we're right there.
Right in there. I mean, if you probably know about the Donner Party, but if you don't, Donner Party was traveling west to California, they got stuck in the snow in the mountains, and they ate each other.
Yep.
Now, I highly recommend listening to podcasts on that and stuff. It's actually very fascinating. At least, I find it fascinating.
Oh, I do
too.
Very
gruesome. Yeah. There were some that did survive. They were never quite the same.
No.
But they did it because they ran out of food in the winter in the mountains.
I mean, I can't blame them, but at the same time, I can't imagine...
That's gross.
...eating people. Yeah.
It's just weird. A little gross.
So, our good old boy, Second Lieutenant John Boyd, he's fighting and he is losing his courage. He's like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna play dead while everybody's getting slaughtered around me. And, like, this movie's rather gruesome.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, and I was also impressed by that, because I like my gruesome movies.
You do love your bloodshed.
I do.
You do.
Yes. So, and they're, like, having this huge dinner for like, his bravery and everything, because he managed to slip in behind enemy ranks and capture a bunch of commanding officers over there and everything like that, and he made a big win, even though... They then later find out that he did a very cowardly thing.
Yeah.
So after the dinner that he also vomits from, which you find out why.
Yeah.
Because, like, in flashbacks throughout the movie, he was buried underneath all the dead comrades.
Yes, corpses.
While blood is, like, literally dripping onto his face, and he's just, he's surrounded by the smell of death. So meat gives him a visceral reaction.
Fair.
Awesome. Very fair.
Fair.
So he upchucks his lunch, and they're like, we're gonna send you somewhere else. We're gonna send you to the Nevadas, and you're gonna go over there, and...
We're gonna pretend this is a promotion, but really we know what you did, and go sit over there and feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, you get the timeout corner.
Mm-hmm. And we don't actually like you, so even though we held this dinner in your honor...
Yeah.
I don't want to see you again. It was, like, really hostile.
Like, he didn't wear pink on Wednesdays.
Yeah. He did it. He was bad.
He tried to make fetch happen. One too many times.
No. So he, it is listed like he's second lieutenant. He gets promoted to captain here.
Yes, and sent away.
Mm-hmm.
He meets his new...
The party.
Motley crew.
Yeah.
And they are a wild bunch.
They are interesting. It's so... funny when they introduce them, because when they introduce Private Reich, he's standing in, like, a bath and screaming, and I thought that was, I just started laughing. I thought
10
it was
out of 10.
So funny. Yeah, so you've got Private Toffler.
Mm-hmm.
Toffler is the priest guy, right?
Toffler is, I believe the priestish looking guy. He's very much a bookworm. He's surrounded by, like, a small library.
He's kind of
he
sheepish?
He likes walnuts for some reason.
Oh, no, that's,
Oh, no, you're right. I'm getting all my...
That's Major Knox. That's Major Knox, yeah.
I'm getting all my important titled individuals
you're good.
Twisted.
You're good. Private Toffler is, yes, he's also kind of a bookworm. He's the one that's doing the hymns and things, and he's kind of weird. He's kind of strange.
I'm not a fan of him, and, like...
he's almost childlike.
Like, I was off about him before he officially was, like, Bad News Bears. Mm-hmm. Before he crossed the line of being Bad News Bears, he was already, like, a shady character mm-hmm, to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, drug-addicted Private Cleaves. Private Cleaves is the alcoholic that never knows what's going on.
Yep, that's David Arquette.
No, David Arquette...
is Cleaves.
Cleaves is?
Yeah.
Oh, David you're Arquette right! Is Cleaves. David is Cleaves. There's an alcoholic who is someone else. I didn't learn that.
It's just a crazy motley crew. Everybody's screaming. Everybody's drunk. Everybody's just trying to survive this little cold...
yes.
...corner of that the world. That
must be... Major Knox must be the mouth. Yes, Major Knox is the alcoholic. You're right. Private Cleaves is David Arquette. Colonel Hart is the one that leads the place with the glasses and is the bookworm. Reich, which one is the one we only remember, is the really hot guy.
Right. Because that's all you need to be memorable.
Then you have two Native American scouts, George and Martha, who are brother and sister.
Yes, and they're fierce. I love them.
I do really like them, too.
And so... shortly after he joins and everything, mm-hmm. we have a frostbitten stranger that stumbles into their area.
Basically, like, half dead.
Yeah, he is, like, a frozen popsicle man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, he's still alive. Maybe we can help him. So they bring him in. They put him in, like, warm water. They warm him up. And they realize that the frostbite did not get too severe, so they were able to warm him up.
Yeah, bring him back.
Yeah. So, which is great, right? They saved a guy.
Yeah.
They did it.
And then he wakes up, and they're like, okay, story time.
Story time.
Around the campfire.
Yeah, so we find out about Calhoun's past, about how he's on this wagon trail,
mm-hmm.
and they got lost in the mountains because a Colonel Ives... that name is important.
Mm-hmm.
Had promised the party a shorter route to the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
This is all lining up with the daughter party. And instead, they led him more into, like, dead ends and things of that nature.
It took forever to cross.
And they got trapped in the snow for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Also very daughter party.
Like, yeah.
They got fucking stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And when he and his travelers were... you know, starving and whatnot, and mm-hmm. he apparently went off to go find some stuff, came back to find that one of the dead travelers, they were cooking his legs for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, as time went on, that's how they had to keep going and resorting to murder.
Yep.
And things of that nature.
Cannibalism.
Yeah. And how everybody was just ravenous for human flesh at that point.
But that there were still two people left.
In a cave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the rest of the party's like, dude, that's fucked, but also we have to go save those people.
Yeah. So they decided to make a rescue party, and they all gathered together except for Martha and David Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that. They get on a horse and they go to another, like, little settlement type. Ranch.
A nearby ranch
yeah. That's also part of this.
I don't remember why. Do you remember why?
Because I think even they were thinking about going to that, so they just sent them ahead saying, hey, we're coming. We have this guy and, like, two others that we're possibly bringing.
Yeah.
That's how I interpreted it, but I wasn't paying that close attention to the scene.
And as they're getting ready, George, their Native American scout, shows them the myth of the Wendigo. Wendigo?
Wendigo. Wendigo. Which, if you're a Supernatural fan, it's like the second episode that they investigate Wendigos in Minnesota. And ever since, I have been a fan of this legend, and I love it.
I like it because of the video game Until Dawn.
Yes, also great.
Very, very fun video game.
Supernatural is just my first introduction of the lore. But yeah.
Yeah.
Until Dawn, 10 out of 10.
So good.
So good.
But essentially, what they talk about, Wendigo,
mm-hmm.
is a human who resorts to cannibalism and essentially it, like, turns them into a monster.
Absorbs their power, gets beefier, and essentially only can then survive on human meat.
Mm-hmm.
And gains, like, more speed, fast healing.
Think of it like a power-up.
Yeah. They become like Wolverine without the metallic claws.
Mm-hmm.
They heal really fast, get really...
But they also become crazy, bloodthirsty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're all... In this version, they are still very smart.
Yeah. And George is looking over at Calhoun, like, side-eyeing him, like, this man is not coming back from that.
Yeah. So, on the trail...
Yeah. On the road again.
They're setting up camp, and we have one guy who is a little injured and has, like, some blood.
Oh, is this and the toddler?
Calhoun decides to lick the man.
So... This happened because Toffler, I don't know, pastor, priest guy, clergyman, something, he fell and injured his side.
Mm-hmm.
Real bad.
Real bad.
Because he's dumb.
Real bad.
And so, yeah, Calhoun is licking it. Also, I don't know
the
if
we've scene where he just
yet.
Starts screaming, he's licking me.
It's so strange. It's so, he's so
I lost
strange.
My shit.
I think it's also worth noting here that we finally get a flashback that shows that Boyd, when he was underneath the pile of corpses, consumed some of the human blood because his mouth was open.
Yeah.
And it is implied that he received strength from that, which caused him to take over the post or whatever that he did.
It's hinted.
Mm-hmm.
Hinted. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Possibilities.
And I think he begins to ask Calhoun this when Toffler falls.
Well.
Mm-hmm. No.
But, yeah, Calhoun decides to lick him like a popsicle.
Yep.
And they decide to tie him up and separate the two of them for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So now, it's the next day, and they make it back to the cave.
They find the cave.
They find the cave.
And Reich and Boyd
and
go in.
Our hot boy and our scaredy cat,
mm-hmm.
possibly already getting super-powered buff boy,
mm-hmm.
Decide to descend into the cave and see what's what.
Yes.
They realize pretty quick it's a trap because everybody's dead down there.
Yeah.
With a few extra bones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a setup trap.
Also, like, these people were killed. It's not like they find
oh, yeah.
bodies.
They were, they, at the level of decomposition, it is very clear.
They were picked clean.
That they, yes. Much like ribs on a barbecue.
They were. Consumed.
Yep. Maybe a little was left there, but like
not much.
Maybe it's just the fatty stuff he didn't like.
And on the outside, as they try and rush back to their companions to let them know that Calhoun is no good news, Calhoun had hidden a gun and shoots the main dude. What's his name? Hart.
He shoots Knox.
Knox isn't there. Knox is drunk. He was left
oh,
behind.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Hart is the guy with the glasses.
Yeah. There's too many dumb names in this, and they don't say their names enough.
No.
For me to recognize who's who.
Knox gets shot, and then...
The big guy who's obsessed with nuts.
Yes. He gets shot. The Native American gets shot, and then Toffler is chased around with the epic chase music. And then, Reich and Boyd come out and try and find Calhoun, because...
But they hear him chasing after...
Toffler.
Yeah, our boy, our wounded boy. And, Calhoun catches up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two catch up to Calhoun.
Who has the inside of Toffler is gone.
Yeah.
It's pretty gruesome.
He's already having a snack of him.
I mean, I get it. A little hungry.
Yeah, with a lot more back and forth and fighting and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
our two good guys jump off cliff. Well, one gets kind of pushed a little bit.
And the other one decides.
And the other one just is like, yeah, I'm gonna just take my chances.
Yep. The first one, our beautiful boy, beautiful, beautiful boy dies.
What?
Not after trying to strangle Boyd.
Which, okay, yeah. So Boyd lands and then Reich lands, like, upside down and then tries to strangle Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
Which, why?
Well, he didn't like Boyd because Reich was, like, very soldiery. Like,
right.
He does
so
what he's gotta do.
He probably had some, like, he's like, this is my last chance to take out this coward type of shit.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of that. But it's so funny. It's so funny to me.
It was just a little out of left field for me.
It was, it's kind of, I could see it. Like, Private Reich is underneath Captain. Like, he's a private, and obviously Captain is above that. And I feel like he was the one that was leading Boyd the whole time, which is not really how last one was going to go.
Right. I get that, but at the same time, they were, like, right now, in the moment, having an alliance to track down Calhoun.
Yeah.
And deal with him.
But then Boyd chickened out to do anything, and that's how Reich got shot and died. So, I get it.
I get it, but at the same time, like, in the moment of me watching it, I was just like...
You're like, what in the world?
Bruh, you are on the same team. Calm your shit. But yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah, very dead.
So, Boyd is now hiding as best as he can.
Yep.
His leg is broken with the bone sticking out.
Yeah, it's gross. It's very gross. It's
good shit.
It was so gross.
Good shit. He does push back in.
Yeah, gross.
And he spends, like, maybe a night or two there, like...
It's hard to tell.
Hidden. Mm-hmm. Because time does go by, and he's waiting it out. Mm-hmm. We do, he does eventually, he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I gotta go. Mm-hmm. So he does make his way to, I want to say the ranch.
Yeah, he makes it back to the place, but not before, I think he does consume a little bit of Reich.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does eat the Boyd. Not the Boyd, the Reich.
You got this.
I meant to say boy, not Boyd.
It's okay. It's okay.
But yeah, he omnoms and gets enough strength to make it to the ranch. Mm-hmm. When he's telling the story and everything like that, Calhoun shows up all fancy-like and sporting a new name.
And calls himself Ives. Colonel Ives. He's now going to take over for Hart, who we assume was killed in the skirmish down by the cave.
Yes. And like I said, it's been like 2 or 3 days since Boyd has seen Calhoun.
Oh, and also George and Martha are back from wherever they went.
No, not George.
No, I'm sorry, not George.
Martha and David Arquette.
Yes, thank you. Jesus, we are so bad with names right now.
Today, yeah. Usually we're pretty good. Today,
Deputy Dewey and Martha are there.
Yeah, they're there, and Boyd's talking and everything, and Ives shows up, and he's like, oh, yeah, this X, Y, and Z happened. Everybody's missing from over there, and I'm...
Pretends not to know anything about what happened to Boyd. He's not Calhoun. Well, that guy is nuts. So everyone's thinking that Boyd has lost his marbles.
Yeah. We know the truth.
We do. Although for a second I was like...
Is this a new man?
Is this a new guy? Am I wrong?
Do we have twins?
Yeah. And at some point they make him... Because Boyd was able to shoot him in the shoulder before he jumped off the cliff.
Injured his shoulder somehow.
He, like, stood back up. It was very zombie-like. Nice touch. But...
They're like, oh, can you humor us and just take off your shirt?
Yeah.
And so he does. Shoulder's fine.
No wound at all.
No.
And Major Knox, who was drunk the whole time...
That one, yeah.
...doesn't remember Calhoun even... Because he was so drunk, he can't remember what he looked like.
Also, he was half asleep.
Yeah. He wasn't...
Half asleep, drunk... Hungover, like, he wasn't paying attention.
No.
So.
But he says it as if it's fact that Boyd is crazy.
Yeah. So, poor Boyd is trying his best. Mm-hmm. Eventually he does get some stew, but he's under, like, surveillance and all this nonsense. Martha, one night, she notices that the horses are slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And she goes and tries to warn Knox and everything like that. And, you know, everybody around them is pretty much going to be dead.
Yeah. I think Boyd also asks her, like, how do you get rid of the Wendigo? And she's like, you don't. It consumes you. You're better off killing yourself, bruh.
Yeah. Which.
Harsh.
I mean, but true.
Martha's just spitting lies over there.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, eventually, like, everybody dies around them.
Yeah, and then Calhoun.
Except for Calhoun.
Calhoun and Boyd have a nice chitty chat.
And then out comes Hart.
Oh, before that, the chitty chat between Calhoun and Boyd reveals that Calhoun is Ives.
Oh.
And he had tuberculosis. It's a whole thing. The Wendigo cured all of his anything he's ever had. He's like perfect 20/20 eyesight. That man is rocking and rolling. And he's like, you are a coward for not giving in to the temptations of eating human flesh.
Right.
But he, very interesting.
But he did. He ate the hot boy.
But he do be resisting now.
Yeah, because it's kind of not a great thing to be enjoying.
Yeah, but Calhoun doesn't think that way. Calhoun's like, I'm living the best boy life over here.
Whatever.
So, yes, then you're right. Everyone dies around them, and Hart shows up. Yeah. Not actually dead.
No, because Calhoun decided to force feed Hart some meat, some of the brethren that fell on that cliff. Mm-hmm. And so now Hart's like, yeah, I'm on board. Let's go. And they have dinner together, and they pretty much put a bowl of human stew in front of Boyd, and Boyd eats it like a crazy person.
Yeah, this is after they stab Boyd. They're like, you will become us or you will die.
Pretty much. They're like trying to grow in number.
They're starting a party.
They're starting a cult.
Yeah, they pretty much are. Which, honestly, Calhoun kind of dumb for doing that.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
It's his downfall.
It is definitely his downfall.
So,
heals from his wound after eating the human flesh.
Yeah. Boyd convinces Hart to free him so he can go kill Calhoun.
He kills Hart after doing that.
Yep.
Hart doesn't like being this way.
He no longer wants to live as a cannibal.
Yeah, we find out that Calhoun had force-fed him human flesh on the brink of his death.
Yep.
Back in the cave.
Force-feeding. So, Boyd agrees, takes care of that, and then him and Calhoun have this very long, drawn-out fight.
It's amazing.
With some of that epic music I was talking about. That music slaps.
It's very much two guys fighting. Like, this is what it would be like.
They are going at it. There's a lot of really big wounds happening. Mm-hmm. And eventually, Boyd forces Calhoun into a very large bear trap.
And himself along with it. So they're like, Calhoun is on the main part of it underneath, and then Boyd gets the spring trap on his back.
He's on top.
Yeah, and Calhoun is like, eat or die. I know what I would choose if you die first,
I will eat you.
But the real question is, what will you do if I die first?
Right. They do die. Both.
Yeah. Boyd decides not to eat him. And dies.
Martha does find them in the bar, and she just kind of looks inside. Boyd looks at her, and she just kind of closes the door, and she just walks away.
She's like, I'm going to leave this shit to you guys.
Y'all are dumb, and she just...
I think she knows exactly what was
going on. Oh, she does. And she's like, fuck you guys.
I'm out of here. Yeah. So, I will say, like, that's a movie.
That's the movie.
We kind of went quick there. There are some really cool monologues in this movie.
Calhoun's monologues, all of them, I was just like, yes.
Enunciation and his diction.
That actor plays a lot of Shakespeare.
I was going to say, you can tell.
He's more classically trained.
It's very fun to listen to. They have, like, some very interesting points, like I said, with the cowardice thing. Is dropping your morality cowardice, or is it cowardice to drop your morality? There's kind of, like, that whole thing in there.
I love
these twists! Like, yes, queen! They did really well. I was expecting this to be, they show up at the cave, something happens to the scout, they can't make their way back, and they slowly eat each other. That's what I thought this was gonna be when the movie started. That was not what this was.
I thought it was ending there. I was like, wait a minute, there's still a whole another hour left of this movie.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fast-paced movie.
Yeah, it is. And a lot happens.
Yeah.
I know we kind of skimmed over a lot of stuff, but, like, there is a lot that happens in this.
Yeah. 10 out of 10, I recommend.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Yeah. So, let's dive into a few fun facts. There wasn't a lot on this movie.
No. But which, again, surprising!
Our kill count is 16.
That's a lot.
That's a hefty number.
That is a lot. Calhoun liked to eat.
He had big appetite.
He did.
He's a growing boy.
Is he?
He's a grown boy. I've already said some of these.
Yeah, apparently the original director was sacked 2 weeks into production, so that's why Antonia Bird stepped in and did it.
Yep, and then when they were hiding out in the after hiding out in the woods from the Wendigo, Boyd hikes up to the camp, and the music that's playing, mm-hmm. it's called Jesus is Coming Soon.
I love that. apparently, Guy Pearce, who plays Boyd, is a vegetarian, so in the scenes where he has to eat, like, the stew and stuff, he would put it in his mouth and chew it, and then when they called cut, he would spit it out. Because it was lamb stew.
They should have given him, like...
tofu.
Tofu.
This is 99, though.
This is before plant-based burgers were all the rage. There was, like, a different scripted ending and things of that nature, and they did run out of fake blood.
They did. Apparently, they weren't originally going to do this whole fight scene. It was supposed to be that the whole, like, cabins burned down, I think they burned, but, they didn't do that, which I'm kind of glad they didn't.
Yeah, if it was just a sudden fire, I don't know, it wouldn't have...
Doesn't have the same impact.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten closure. Seeing them both die in the bear trap, that was my favorite, like, death.
That's nice. That's
nice. I love a good bear trap moment. We don't get that enough.
No. So Colonel Ives says, this is what I mean by the morality stuff. Morality, the last bastion of a coward, which is paraphrasing in an inverted manner. Author Umberto Eco, someone said that patriotism is the last refuge of cowards. So basically it's just your side of the line.
Do you have any other fun facts? Those are pretty much all the ones that I had.
But I do have taglines.
Hit me with some taglines.
Survival is the only option.
Great.
Bon appetit. You are who you eat.
Is bon appetit like B-O-N-E or is it
the... No, it's B-O-N. They missed an opportunity. Okay. It's okay. Eat up and get a taste for terror. Do you have any reviews?
I have 3 reviews. There were so many, but I had to narrow it down.
Okay, hit me.
So we have a 3.5-star review. Just like the time me and the boys ate one another in order to succumb to ultimate strength and power.
I mean, I get it, right? Yeah. That's basically what Calhoun's all about.
Another 3.5? I let Robert Carlyle eat me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. And then a 4-star, look, I am a simple man. Show me cannibals and a bit of homoerotic subtext, and I've got myself a new favorite film.
There is definitely some sexual tension.
It's so much sexual tension.
There is definitely some sexual tension.
This is one of the gayest movies that's not outright gay.
Yeah.
That we've watched.
Between, like, Carlisle and Boyd.
In our list of movies.
Get real close.
It is more gay than Billy and Stu.
Billy and Stu.
Yeah.
I thought you said Billy and Stu, S-T-E-W. It's like, what is that?
No. These guys are gayer than that.
Yeah, I'm all here for it.
I mean, so am I. I was just saying.
Yeah.
This is the gayest movie mm-hmm. that we've watched for mm-hmm. this horror, mm-hmm. horror report card.
Because we haven't watched Friday the 13th.
We haven't watched Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
That's what I was thinking of, not Friday the 13th.
Which, that will be the gayest movie, and nothing will top that. Unless we watch a legitimate...
He's literally a scream queen, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great.
I would love to watch that. Haven't seen it yet.
We'll watch it eventually. Whenever we do some more sequels, maybe.
Yes.
Let's grade this shit.
So, Christine and I have 5 questions to score our movies that we grade on a scale of 1 to 10 for a possible score of 50 each, 100 total.
First question, was it a good horror movie in our opinion?
So, I gave this a 4. Now, I gave this a 4 because it's not scary to me,
okay,
but it is thought-provoking. So, I gave it higher scores in other areas because of that.
I gave it a 7.
Okay.
I think it's underrated, and it was all around good with the horror supernatural dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Wendigos are fascinating. We didn't get into it, but it definitely looks some stuff up.
Look into that lore. It is deep.
There's a lot.
So much. How is the acting?
8.
7.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's pretty good. There's definitely some interesting characters.
Yeah. Special effects?
6.
7.
Okay. I
was actually pretty impressed.
It's pretty good. I didn't like the skeletons in the cave too much.
I was okay with that.
It's just, they looked like costume skeletons a little.
Yeah, but they dressed it up a little bit. They tried.
They did try.
Compelling story, interesting twists.
8.
7.
This is very good.
Yeah. Character development and rating.
5. 6. Yeah. So I gave it a 31.
I have 34.
For a total score of
65. So that is putting us in between the Blair Witch Project and Child's Play.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So next
podcast episode in 2 weeks. Yes. So since we are all caught up in the world of the Evil Dead,
mm-hmm.
and as we're recording this, the next movie comes out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we are obviously going to go see that.
I mean,
And we're going to record about it. Now, this is your warning. We are going to spoil the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch it before you come back in 2 weeks and listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee you it's going to be a great time. I've been so amped.
I'm pumped. I'm also kind of low-key terrified because we're watching this in theaters. And I don't often watch horror in theaters.
And I normally, for like more gruesome movies, watch it before you. So I know when to be like, okay, you can open your eyes.
And this one looks gruesome. Based off of the trailers.
I need to know about the cheese grater.
Oh my god.
I need to know. I forgot
about that until right now.
I need to know.
I'm gonna maybe be, like, holding your hand the entire
movie. I'm fully prepared for that.
Good.
And like I said, I will smuggle in a blanket so that you can hide if you need to.
Just cry.
Yeah. But yeah, we are going to cover Evil Dead Rise. And then, because also, we're gonna be a little busy.
Yeah.
Because...
I'm getting married.
She got murdered?
I got murdered, and then I am going on a honeymoon. So, I think Christy might be potentially replacing me for an episode, but I don't know yet.
For one episode, I'll find somebody to come on here with me. Otherwise, you're just gonna get one fun episode of me, guys.
That would be hilarious.
And it's not gonna be me reviewing a movie. It would probably be me being like, listen, I have ranking opinions. And I need to, like, vent about it. Like,
oh, no.
It'll be my, like, therapy and nobody can stop me type of episode.
I will listen to that.
You're on the honeymoon with your boy and you'll be like...
I'm living life, sipping my drink.
Yeah, and I freaking just Aruba and be like, yeah.
Get a chill down my spine. Like, something just feels weird. It's you secretly in your room just bashing everything I've ever given for scores.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about this ranking. Me like talking about my rank of slashers. Oh! The rank of who has the most kills. Yeah.
I would listen.
I mean, I'm glad you would. I know we'd get one listen.
I can guarantee one listen.
Yes! That's all I crave. That's all I hope for. This is just one person to hear me.
I got you. I hear you. I hear you.
But, yes. So, like I said, go watch it.
2 weeks.
Enjoy it. Don't let us spoil it for you. We don't want to spoil it for you.
No, go and watch it.
The object of us talking about it is we don't get to cover brand new movies
mm-hmm.
when they come out very often. Because we're trying to get Kelly caught up on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm still pretty behind on a lot of things, guys.
Yeah, it's a lot. And we're only, like, We've only watched 72 movies so far.
I mean, you know, that's not bad, considering where I started.
Like, 98% of these you hadn't seen before.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're gonna do that. And since we're also caught up with the series, we want to keep caught up with at least one series so far. Also, we just love Evil Dead.
I love the Evil Dead.
I will say the remake did grow on me. I know I bashed it a little bit in the beginning.
I don't remember that. I liked it.
I was saying that it was boring.
Oh.
That I was bored by it.
Okay.
When I first watched it.
Okay.
It did slowly grow on me because I do like my special effects.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got more into it the more times I watched
it. I mean, it also has the blessing of the original creators, which helps.
Yes, it does help. Now... this next installment just has me so fucking amped.
I'm nervous.
It's a new setting.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Same world, right?
Same world. We're gonna explore a little bit more of the Necronomicon, and they've already teased that there will probably be more Evil Dead movies in the future.
I'm about that.
So if we could explore more of what the Necronomicon could do, because that's a hefty book.
It is.
And we've only really covered like a couple pages of how to summon a few Deadites.
That's true.
That book has time travel, as we've seen in the third installment.
I mean, we know that.
Yeah. I'm just saying, there's a whole lot more in there that maybe we could conjure up. Maybe some more monsters mm-hmm, that we could mm-hmm. bring into the world rather than just the Deadites.
I'm about it.
Let's explore the world of the Evil Dead. Let's do it.
Come back in 2 weeks.
So come back in 2 weeks. We're going to spoil the shit out of it. We don't want to spoil it for you. Like I said, we want to share our opinions with you.
Yes.
And tell you what all happens.
Yes. Yes.
So, if you like our artwork as much as we do,
go visit my sister Danny at Danny Draws Dragons over on Instagram. And also listen to our episode, Annihilation, that she guest speaks on.
Yes. And if you want to join the conversation, you know, let us know what movies we should cover, what themes you want us to cover, anything of that nature. You can join our Facebook group at Unnerved, a Horror Movie Podcast, or you can tweet at us and follow us on Twitter at AUnnerved.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see more spooky things that I do, because I do haunt stuff, mm-hmm. I do haunt makeup, I take pictures of random movie posters I see in the wild of things that we've covered on the podcast and things of that nature. You can follow my Instagram at Lilith_Hilltopple, which once we get into spooky season, I'll be posting like so many times a week.
Yes.
Especially this summer. I'm sure I'll be doing even more makeups leading into it.
Yes.
Once I have more time. And otherwise, join us again in 2 weeks. Stay safe. Stay spooky. Congratulate Kelly that she's going to get married next week.
I'm going to be a Mrs.
Yes, this drops tomorrow, the day that we're recording, and then she gets married next week, guys.
Yeah.
Crazy. This is the last time we have a Miss Kelly on here.
Oh, man. Call me Mrs.
Not yet. You ain't married yet. I don't see that double ring on your finger. I just see that one.
Soon.
But yeah, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye!